Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. Now, here's your host, CJ.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Fire It Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. Today, we have the honor and pleasure to have Dr. Jean Shinoda Bolen, who is a psychiatrist, Jungian analyst, and activist. Welcome, Jean.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
So today we are going to be talking about trees and a brand new way of new brand of activism. And our focus on this segment is really talking about trees and how they're good for your body, mind, and soul. So let's get to the scientific facts. Why are trees so important, Jean?
First of all, we wouldn't even be here if it weren't for trees. And it has to do how it is that the trees take in our carbon dioxide and our automobile carbon dioxide and all of the bad kind of toxins in the air. They actually clean the air for us and transform that, the carbon dioxide we breathe out, they transform it into oxygen for us to breathe in. So they are the lungs of the planet, for one thing, but each of us can breathe in and out and all because the trees are here. Without the trees, we would be, on a body level, really out to lunch.
Right. And not only us, but other animals, right? There's a whole ecosystem built around a tree that I think is hard to... With humans, we forget about that, right? But there are birds and plants and animals that survive, that depend on that tree, right?
And cities that don't have trees and too much pollution, like Shanghai and Beijing now, and how Los Angeles used to be. I mean, people were in real difficulties having enough good air to breathe. The pollution really does make people sick.
Mm-hmm.
So from a body, just a basic cellular body level, we and trees interact together.
So what do you think in terms of, and so this was about body, mind, and spirit, in what way do trees affect our peace of mind?
It is so natural for people to go out to nature to be replenished. For most of us, and for children who have lived close enough to nature, you can be really upset at people or upset at the unfairness of things. And if you go climb a tree and sit under a tree or walk out among trees, there is a sense that there is a bigger forest world, tree world, nature world, Mother Nature, really, I suppose, that is comforting, that holds you, that is there and making no demands or not criticizing, just providing a space for you to be fine just as you are. You know, there aren't very many places where people can, who are going through a tough time or feel criticized or are abused or really are having a difficult time with other people, the place where many of them can go, often as children, because you can't, you know, running away from home is not a good solution.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're fortunate enough to have a big yard or have a woods next door or something like that, which is not everybody, but if you do, then that's where some solace can be found. I mean, I've talked to women who were in really dysfunctional families and being yelled at and criticized and a kind of stubborn streak in them that says, I am not going to cry. And so they don't cry there as little girls, but they went out into nature under a tree, under some place where nobody could see them and they could cry and then regain their sense of, you know, I'm just going to endure this. It's also a place of imagination. If you're in the world of trees, it's an imaginative world. So if you're in a bad situation, one of the things you can do is imagine that this is a temporary situation, which is true. This is an inner wisdom that people need to have, that no matter how bad it is right now, things change. And if you tap into that inner wisdom, which nature teaches, because nature is, there's a cycle of nature. Nature goes through the seasons. And every day is different. And the day is different than the night. And if you tune into nature and you get it, that change is the only thing that is utterly predictable. Then you learn something from nature that's a very wise thing.
Yeah, it's interesting because what I'm hearing you say is that it's like, you know, and one of the things that you say in the book is that, you know, trees have been here longer than we have. Most trees, you know, they're the wise statesmen, right? They're the wise statesmen that kind of has seen and been through it all actually longer than you have. And I like the idea of kind of a quiet wisdom and stillness that's not there to judge you, but to just listen and to be. And a connection to nature and the cycles, and it's just kind of a reminder that you like the tree. When I actually oftentimes talk to clients, I use the analogy of a tree because it is something that reminds us that we're always in transition, even when we don't want to be, right?
Yeah, but the other thing about trees is that if you tune into the kind of the invisible world of imagination and energy, you have a sort of sense that the trees that have really been around, actually around for a long, long time, trees that are over 100 years old or even 1,000 years old, and in my part of the world, there are some trees that old, there's a different quality about a tree that has actually itself been around for a longer period of time. Then trees that are put up for landscape purposes, trees that are replace the trees that were cut down to build the housing development, and instead some pretty trees are planted, and they aren't very big, they haven't been around there very long, and they've been chosen to be ornamental. There's something about, I don't know, this is the sort of mystic in me that says that there are trees that seem like old soul trees, and there are trees that seem like very young soul trees.
Yeah, I love that idea. And that they have an intention and purpose, right? Because why wouldn't trees have an intention and purpose as well, whether it be to be decorative like the ones that you mentioned, which is perfectly fine, or to be in a, to create, like, you know, a lot of the trees here in where I'm from Seattle, Washington, they do have this sacredness. You can walk into a forested area and think, oh, this is a sacred place. I don't know why.
Yes.
But you can feel it, right?
Yes, not everybody feels that way about trees, but those of us that do, I call tree people. And I see them, feel them as having a different sort of orientation toward nature and toward the feminine.
Yeah.
If I were to really broaden it out, than people that don't have that same feeling, the not tree people, to which a tree is only a thing, so many lumber feet, if it's a tree that is commercially valuable, that kind of thing, it's treated like a thing that you own and that you do with whatever you want to with, because it's just a thing. It's the same kind of attitude of dominion over property owner attitude towards girls in certain countries and in certain families. You treat or animals, or anything alive that you have no sense of reverence towards or connection to, becomes just an object, a thing.
And what's a contrast if you don't see things as a thing? I mean, because for, you know, so you're making the distinction that people who are tree people, love tree, feel this feeling versus people who view them as objects. But what do you think is happening to the tree people? And if they're not thinking about dominion or as decoration or owning, what is it that they think about or the values that they honor in the tree?
Well, you mentioned the sacred trees around Seattle, and this is the same part of the world that the indigenous people have talked about trees and have a sense of trees as the great mystery, that we are part of the bigger great mystery. Everything that's alive in this, everything in that we share, we share this beautiful planet with all kinds of life and all kinds of inanimate, as we would call it, life. But from the standpoint of the molecular physicist or the indigenous person, there's a sense of how we are all connected into the great mystery of life, and therefore we are part of it. We don't have the right to cut down vast forests in the northwest or forests in the rainforest without affecting, but everything is interrelated in such a way that it affects us, what is done on a practical level, but also on some other level when you cut down the rainforest.
Yeah, because if we're all one, that means that all plants and living beings, you know, all living things, whether it's a plant or a tree or a shrub or an animal, we're all connected. So when you hurt any of those things in the system, you hurt the whole. And that's what I took away. Is that what you meant, or did you mean something differently? Different.
Something like that. I think that there is a tension and a reality between our individuality and the oneness that we are also part of. And so we have a sense of our autonomy and our singular selves, and we operate often in what I call the daytime world as if and needing to behave that way. And yet, if we can tune in to this other thing, go out under the stars at night. Go look at the ocean when the moon is shining on it. Be in the forest. Be in the woods. Be someplace beautiful. And you're not there anymore as this autonomous I that makes decisions, that you become a participant in the amazing bigger world of universe. So we as human beings do both. I mean, we have, of course, I can see a tree as something that I might cut down. I don't think each tree that I look out on is necessarily a holy specimen from the standpoint of that particular tree and me, but I also appreciate that we are all inhabiting this amazing universe together. So it's sort of both and or something like that.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's beautiful to think of a tree in that way, as both of us as inhabitants and participants. It's very you-like, based on what I've read.
As in Y-E-W or Y-O-U?
It's both. No, I think it's Y-O-U.
No, because the amazing yews are one of the oldest trees on this planet. And there's a whole, and some people have psychic connections with those old trees. So I just wondered when you asked.
Only you could ask that question. I think that's a fascinating thing that you'd even ask that question. Thank you very much, Dr. Jean Shinoda Bolen, an author of Like a Tree, How Trees, Women, and Tree People Can Save the Planet. Up next on segment two of our four-part series, we will look at how we miss both the forests and the trees. Remember, if you miss part of the show or want to hear more, then look us up on iTunes or at firedupwithcj.com. Thanks for tuning in.
bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Do you dream of being on The Amazing Race? Well, here's your chance. Grab a friend and prepare for an exhilarating race around the city when City Solve Urban Race comes to your city. Teams of two will solve clues and face fun challenges while racing around the city. The winning team gets $300 and a chance to be in the Las Vegas Championship race to compete for a grand prize of $5,000. Not only will you have a ton of fun, you'll also be helping a good cause. A portion of the proceeds will benefit a local charity. To start racing, go to CitySolveUrbanRace.com.
Tune in each Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern for the hit show Out of the Fog with Karen Hager, the Fog City Psychic. Spark your spirit and ignite your soul with spiritual conversation and enlightening guests that will help you get clear and catapult you into action. You'll meet metaphysical movers and shakers, intuitives, spiritual visionaries, and more. Want an on-air reading? Karen's down-to-earth style and lively curiosity delivers the compassionate, no-nonsense, intuitive advice that's become her trademark. Visit FogCityPsychic.com and book your reading today.
Transformation, transformation, transformation talk radio. Transformation, transformation, transformation talk radio.
TransformationTalkRadio.com, transforming the world one listener at a time.
Hi, everybody. I'm CJ Liu, and you're listening to the Fire It Up with CJ show on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. This starts our second look at saving trees and a new brand of activism. And we're going to focus on how we miss both the forest and the trees with how we think about trees today. Today, we have the honor to have Dr. Jean Shinoda Bolen, who is an internationally known Jungian analyst and a clinical professor of psychiatry at University of California at San Francisco. Welcome, Dr. Bolen.
Good to be with you.
Yeah, so I wanted to talk to you about, in your book, you talk about one of the things that got you started about this book was a Monterey pine tree in the front of your yard. And despite your efforts, the homeowner association decided to cut down the tree right around the same time that you were attending a women's conference. And I wanted to talk to you about synchronicity and what role that played, or you think it may have played in that case.
Well, the book, I've been noted for being a women's activist and an advocate for a number of women's issues, and I was on the Ms. Foundation board for women a number of years ago, and one of my activisms was with the American Psychiatric Association, in which I led a movement, a boycott actually, that had to do with their not supporting an Equal Rights Amendment. And that was the time when I invited Gloria Steinem to come and speak, and she did, and that's how I got to know her. And from that, I ended up on the board of the Ms. Foundation for a term or two. And so there's this background of being a feminist activist, but what recruited me into becoming an environmentalist or a tree activist had to do with a very personal experience of being this tree person. That is, that I have an appreciation for trees. I think they're beautiful. I notice the shapes of trees. I've drawn and painted trees when I was a kid, and it helped me to see trees more clearly. And so I live in Mill Valley, California, which is a fairly treed place, and I saw this big, impressive Monterey pine tree, that was in front of my house before I even saw the house that I ended up now living in and feeling like I can live here the rest of my life. It's that kind of a house. Well, the tree was part of that.
Mm.
And then to find that it was considered something expendable when a particular neighbor wanted it down, partly because of view, partly because she didn't have much of a value of it as a tree, saw it as something that shed, and pine trees are inflammable, and any number of reasons and it wasn't a native exactly of the area, which, although it's a native of California, we're being very specific about what is a local native tree. Anyhow, I didn't believe that people would vote to have a tree in its prime cut down. And so at first I didn't take it seriously that this would happen. And then I began to realize it truly was serious.
Mm.
So I had to employ activist communication and various other things. And I delayed its execution, so to speak, for quite a while. But in the end, it was going to come down. And it was arranged to be cut down when I was going to be away. And I was going to the Commission on the Status of Women at the United Nations during the time that it was cut down. And at that particular meeting, Gloria Steinem and I were on a panel together. And I told her my saga, the activist that I wasn't successful at cutting down about this tree, so that when I came home, it would be down. And she said to me, well, remember, Jean, you are a writer, and writers can have the last word.
Mm.
And that got me into writing this book, Like a Tree, How Trees, Women, and Tree People Can Save the Planet, out of what initially was my outrage and into the deep appreciation as I learned more and more about trees themselves. I mean, to get that this one tree was the center of an ecological system, that after it was cut down, a lot of things changed. Nothing needed to be watered under the tree before.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Monterey Pine happens to have needles, and I happen to live where there's a fog belt during some summer seasons and whatever. And when that happens, the fog is distilled by those pine needles into drops of water. And so the tree waters everything under it. It provides its own sort of microclimate in it. So everything under the tree got watered. So I didn't have to water anything until the tree was cut down.
Mm-hmm.
Things that I had that thrived in partial shade did not thrive in full sun.
Mm.
I began to learn about what trees actually did, and I was blown away. I mean, I learned about the miraculous things that trees do, from taking sunlight or photons, and the leaves that have this little transformation thing in them, really, that turns sunlight into energy and sugar that feeds the tree. It also is what transforms oxygen into carbon dioxide and sugar in the process.
Yeah.
And so each leaf is a little unit, a transformational unit.
Mm.
And I also think always metaphorically, and you know, light transformed into energy is like illumination metaphorically. Sunlight, spiritual light, the capacity for an individual person or a leaf to be affected by sunlight or spiritual light, and to then have more energy and be able to in a sense nourish others, is a very interesting metaphor, as well as what really happens.
Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful metaphor to just think about. I love the idea of a leaf being a transformational unit with the light. That's beautiful.
And then
honestly,
the root system under a tree is often as large as the leafy branch system above the tree.
Mm-hmm.
And in many species it's so, and all the rootlets go down into the soil, and it breaks up clay and makes it into soil. It's a watershed. Its little rootlets pick up on micro various micro nourishment things that, like hydrogen, that could then go up the tree. So there's a two-way nourishment system that draws from the earth, that brings it up to the leaves, and goes from the leaves and draws it down the trunk to the soil. And so to appreciate this one tree from many different aspects is what started me on this journey. And so the book is an activist book, but it's not an activist book based on outrage at because my tree was cut down. I'm, you know, now a tree activist. It's because my tree was cut down and because of what I learned about trees and deeply appreciated, and began to realize that that quality of tree appreciation is a human ability that is connected with our sense of oneness, or our sense of there being a spiritual dimension to this world, or a mystical dimension to this world, as well as a physical and chemical dimension to this world.
Yeah, and it's out of love. It seems to me, when I feel, when you were talking about this whole thing, it feels like it's coming from the heart, out of love, to me. But I don't know if that feels when you were writing.
I think the heart is an organ of perception, as among other things. And I think that when you align yourself where you're using your mind, but it is connected to the feeling level and the intuitive level of the heart, that you have this experience of taking in the whole picture and deeply caring about something. And so when you start to deeply care through loss of whether it's a tree or a person or a cause, and I have, as an activist, have taken Alice Walker, who is a wonderful activist. Mm-hmm. The title of one of her activist books was Anything That We Love Can Be Saved. Now, I didn't save the tree, and I also know that that's not true. But I know that what motivates people to do what they do with the attitude of, because I love it, I will try to save it, whether it's a principle or whether it's, you know, a tree or an animal or forest or whatever it might be, that any activism motivated by love really does have a lot more going for it than any other kind.
Beautiful. So let me ask you a question. I'm going to circle back to one of the things that you said in your distinction of tree people and not, and that tree people don't view trees as objects and property, or that they have dominion over it, or as merely decoration, but they see them as through kind of a different lens. What do you think happens when we do see the world through the lens of this, you know, of object and property?
I think it gets to be a very objective, scary kind of world. And whoever has more power over to defend oneself, whether it's financial or whether it's armed weapons or whatever, it becomes a world in which you maintain your position only because you're more powerful than other people who might want to take you down. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the way a lot of the world is, actually. A lot of people feel that way. It's a very uncomfortable world where might makes right and all those kinds of principles. And the thing of it is as human beings, we have a life course. We go from being very vulnerable to adults in our prime to we love, we lose. Things happen, we realize that we actually don't have control over a lot of things. Plus, we're all going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that you cannot hold on to power and defend yourself forever. You will at some point inevitably become interdependent or dependent on others.
Right. And all powerful societies have an end at one point.
Yeah.
Right.
They do.
Yeah, so I mean, it's not going to last forever. And to realize before you are extinct, like you've mentioned a couple times in your book, it's better to be on top of it and kind of reach out. Know that you're sinking down the pit and reach out for help, honestly.
Well, yeah, and it really does help to have a sense that in a caring universe. I mean, Einstein's last words were apparently the question of, is this universe friendly?
Mm-hmm.
And that means that you sense that you're part of a beautiful universe,
mm-hmm.
that you are
mm-hmm.
touched by beauty. You talked about heart and love. Well, beauty is part of that perception that when you, what you know, you become sort of what you perceive and feel and believe.
Mm. Yeah, that's a beautiful way to close the segment. Thank you so much, Dr. Jean Shinoda Bowen, author of Like a Tree, How Tree Women and Tree People Can Save the Planet. Stay with us to find more about a new brand of activism and look at how crones and activist chicks can form a powerful activist circle. If you missed any part of the show, look us up later by going to iTunes or at firedupwithcj.com. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be right back.
Just yesterday morning, they let me know you were gone. Suzanne, the plans they made put an end to.
TransformationTalkRadio.com. Transforming the world one listener at a time.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, and I want to share something amazing with you. If you're sick of information and ready for an extreme transformation, then check out world-renowned energy healer Ann Taylor at FasterQuickerBetter.com. She's been creating miracles in tens of thousands of people's lives for over 16 years, and I'm one of those people. You too can easily do the same by simply listening to her recordings. If you want to miraculously eliminate fears, worries, and negative beliefs, then you owe it to yourself to purchase her amazing package, which includes over 50 pieces of healing work. Thanks to Ann's 60-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Hurry over to FasterBetterQuicker.com and finally experience the quantum leap in consciousness that you truly deserve.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Ugh, aren't you tired of the same old negative vibe?
Hey, Valerie, have you heard about TransformationTalkRadio.com?
No, what's that?
Dr. Pat is launching a new network. And
Dr. Pat?
Dr. Pat.
How many hours is she going to be on?
It won't be all Dr. Pat. She'll be joined by her friends, transformative hosts from around the globe. TransformationTalkRadio.com is a 24/7 network.
24 hours of Dr. Pat and her guests?
No, 24 hours of Dr. Pat and her hosts.
Oh, my gosh, I'm so excited. Where is it going to be broadcast?
You're going to be able to hear her in Seattle, Boston, Connecticut, New York, Rhode Island, on over 300 cable radio stations, and on the Internet everywhere. Listen live at TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Great, we should spread the word.
Absolutely, spread the word. Go to TransformationTalkRadio.com.
The Ascension Foundation, serving to build an interdimensional community. The Ascended Masters invite you to join them in co-creating this mission. Allow the Masters to lead the way in activating the wisdom of your heart consciousness and raising your vibration. You can communicate with them directly by attending apportation events and classes in mediumship, crystal light energy healing, alchemy, master studies, past life regression, and more. For a schedule of classes, workshops, and special events, visit theascensionfoundation.com. That's theascensionfoundation.com.
Hi, and welcome to the Fired Up with CJ show. I am CJ Liu, and you are listening to the Transformation Talk Radio Network. Today, we have the honor and pleasure to have the lovely Dr. Jean Shinoda Bolen, an advocate for having a fifth UN United Nations World Conference for Women, and the author of the classic Goddesses in Every Woman. Welcome, Jean.
Good to be with you.
So, in your book, you have this wonderful... You have this wonderful story about Hillary Huntley and your friend who's an activist. And it's a wonderful reminder of the honor and potentially responsibility that we have as crones to pass down our knowledge and wisdom to the younger generation. And I was wondering if you could just start off the segment by telling us that story, because I love it. Can you tell me a story? Tell me the story again.
I have a friend up in Vancouver Island, Claire Peterson, mm-hmm. who is a friend and also a convener of the Mayence Circle Initiative, which is a whole other story about women in circles. But what she was doing, what she told me about, was she was out walking, which was not unusual, and except what was unusual this morning is this disembodied voice that came from somewhere that said,
from the heavens.
Hello, you down there. Hello. And she said, she looked around, she couldn't find anybody, and then she looked up and saw this young woman up in this tree. And so she looked up at her, and this is Hillary Huntley, and Hillary said, do you know that they plan to cut down this stand of trees next Tuesday? And Claire didn't, and Hillary went on to say that she just learned about it, that... she decided when she heard about it that she was going to climb the tree and she was going to stay up there and prevent them from cutting it down. And my friend, Claire, heard her out and walked away thinking that because she's a feminist, she said that wasn't her cause, but she thought, I'm willing to support any woman who is willing to sit up in a tree for that cause.
Anyone who would do that, you have my vote, sister.
Yes, that's what started her off. And then she learned more about the particular tree that she in the what the situation was. They wanted to cut it down to be a playing field of some sort. And she got on the phone, and this is an area where you have such things as phone trees. I suppose now it's email, you know, it's Facebook now, but she had phone trees. She called. The reason that she knew who to call, and this is a generation of crones. If you live in a any place where you settle down for a length of time and you vote for city councilman and you know the local newspaper and, you know, your kids went through school and whatever, you are a crone age person who has a considerable amount of networking among the powers that be and make decisions within a town or a village. Mm-hmm. And that was the case. So she and her friends really had connections with a newspaper and with the mayor and whatever, and they found out what the whole story was, and they started talking about it and moving the issue into conscious form, and people got interested, and as a result, negotiations were made with the people that didn't realize that these McGarry pines were especially a rare tree. And as that they informed people about these particular trees and got the word out, it formed a local movement. and the trees, the agreement was that the trees would be spared. The mayor called Hillary, who was up in the tree, and said, "We're going to save the trees. You can come down now." And he said, "When you bring it to me in writing, I will come down from the tree."
I love that. That is awesome.
And what got me thinking of what would have saved my own tree is if I had somebody like Hillary who was willing to sit up in that tree.
Because you just had Hillary
generation
sit.
The generation that I'm a part of, you know, that just is not exactly our thing. We're a little uncomfortable with doing things like that. But the young people, whether it's a Humboldt Redwood Forest activist, whether it's the people that sat at and tried to prevent trees from being cut at the University of California, it's the young people who have the energy to do that kind of thing. But if they just protest, they're not as effective as if they make an alliance with the Crone Age older people, older women, older men and women, who actually can then, because of the publicity that, or the notoriety, or the energy of the young people who are willing to make a statement, those behind the scenes can then make things really happen through that. It's an alliance that works really well, and it's even one of the more effective alliances that Greenpeace has done in saving the areas of the rainforest in Brazil. It's again, you've got young, active, mostly men in this case, mm-hmm. who would be willing to go out and make a case on the ground. Mm-hmm. Well, their alliance is with allies who know how to use communication networks and alliances.
Mm-hmm.
Works very well.
Yeah, it's interesting because I was talking to right around last April, I was talking to Dennis Hayes, who is one of the founders of Earth Day, and he was saying one of the challenges is trying to figure out how to get young people involved because they have such a lack of faith in the system and a disbelief that anything could possibly change. And what I like about your particular idea is that it's like, well, yeah, so we have a responsibility as older folks to go, instead of saying, oh, that's a shame, what can you do to take the power and influence that you have and share it with the younger generation who is willing to do kind of all the kind of work that you maybe feel like, oh, I don't, you know, that's maybe in my 20s, but I don't want to do that anymore.
Although what's interesting now is whatever is going on with the Occupy movement, it is a it is young people.
Yeah.
But who comes out for it? Not the overnight part, but the daytime part of it is a wide generational, multi-generational, intergenerational kind of movement.
Yeah, that's a really interesting observation because when I went to the Occupy movement in Seattle, it's multiple people are on stage talking and working in collaboration, telling their story from multiple different perspectives. So, and I think that there's a power even in hearing all the different perspectives in the stories, right? Where sometimes you don't get that, where you would get through a multi-generational look.
Well, that's the power also of seeing each other as equals, and this is a circle where you look across the circle and one person isn't higher than the other and has therefore his or her story, often it's a his story, carries more weight, is more important than those other people's stories. Besides, in a hierarchical sense, the candidate or the person with power, the man with power, stands on a podium and looks out at the audience that is all facing him or her.
Mm-hmm.
While if you sit in a circle and everyone has a story about whatever the issue is, mm-hmm. you do get different perspectives and you start to understand each other and where they're truly coming from, which is often moving. And what moves you also changes you. Mm. It's not just intellectual. It's when you are sitting with another human being and you get a perspective on what that human being has experienced that you didn't know firsthand, but
mm-hmm.
you get it from hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what circles can do on many different levels.
Have people used the circles? And I actually have a book club that operates exactly that way. I have a group of women friends, close Microsoft friends, and we sit and we talk about things in a circle. And it's the, you know, 10 most interesting women that I'd ever want to be in a room with, listening to their observations and perceptions of things. And I learn so much and grow so much just by being in their presence. Oh my gosh, I only have 3 more minutes, I just noticed. So quickly, tell me an example of when circles have been used in activism. In the Seattle Occupy movement, they didn't have a circle, but I mean, have you seen this circle being used for activism?
In principle, Occupy is operating under circle principles.
How so?
But in actual, because of the shared leadership, the hearing different stories from different people, because a circle, if it's a decision making circle, will operate by consensus after they've heard the different points of view. That isn't the activism that I happen to be strongly personally advocating myself, which is came out of a book called The Being Circle, How to Change Ourselves and the World. And it was a guide specifically for women's circles, but it has been used for men's circles as well. And it adds a dimension to the consciousness-raising group that changed the world for women back in the late 60s and 70s, which was the consciousness-raising group. But in principle, again, you were sitting in usually a circle with women, other women, and telling the truth of your own lives. The difference from the man's circle was adding the one dimension of assuming that in the center of the circle that there was something spiritual or sacred that could support the women in the circle. And it grows out of such things like recovery groups from cancer. You know, you can't just always each other help each other, but there is, as an Alcoholics Anonymous, which is a circle movement. I mean, it's people are equal. People call upon higher power when they don't know how to fix it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And to bring
I see.
Group is a whole different energy. It's sort of like tapping into a source that human beings have tapped in forever.
Right. So at the center of that is our collective consciousness, our wisdom, our spirituality is in the center.
Yes.
I've heard you said that, but I didn't understand what you meant. It's fascinating.
And it's also a center in ourselves because we have it. When ego is related to that source of meaning, then it's different. There's a quality of living a life that is true for you. It may be different than somebody else's life.
Interesting. So wonderful. I am so, what a wonderful analogy in thinking about the Occupy movement as a circle. A big thanks to you, Jean Shinodable, and author of Like a Tree, How Trees, Women, and Tree People Can Save the Planet. Stay with us more to find out about Dr. Bolin or a new brand of activism. Next, we'll look at to be or not to be an activist. Remember to tune in later. You can go to iTunes or firedupwithcj.com.
I was dealing with anxiety and depression, and nothing seemed to help me. Then I started to work with Dr. Schaub's Breakthrough Program. In just a few sessions, he helped me to finally understand and heal the deeper root cause of my challenges. As a result, I feel more centered and confident than ever before. And now I have the tools which will continue to support me throughout my life's journey. Dr. Schaub's approach has changed my life.
Hello, I'm Dr. Friedman Schaub, and I work with people across the globe to help them break through anxiety and depression and access their true potential. If you are ready to bring back confidence, joy, and meaning in your life, call us to schedule a free phone consultation at 866-903-MIND. That's 866-903-6463, or visit our website at cellularwisdom.com. That's cellularwisdom.com.
naturopathic doctor, founder of the Martha's Vineyard Holistic Retreat, and author of the New York Times bestseller, 21 Pounds in 21 Days, Dr. Ronnie DeLuce has helped tens of thousands of people, including celebrities and athletes, with her message of lifestyle change. Now, Dr. Ronnie DeLuce wants to help you. You, too, can be saved. Email Dr. Ronnie DeLuce at info@ronniedeluceonradio.com and visit mvholisticretreat.com. Dr. Ronnie DeLuce, your partner in wellness.
Transformation Talk Radio, a higher consciousness perspective. The hosts on Transformation Talk Radio offer a positive and new paradigm shift, a new vision for a collective future. They are empowering and helping all of us experience a powerful wave of personal shifts and cultural change as we break through to even greater levels of awareness. Take down our toll-free number, 1-800-930-2819. Call in, connect, make sure you tap into some of the world's most empowering psychics, healers, and more. Get an on-air reading with the best. Tune in, transformationtalkradio.com. Hey, everybody, we'll see you there.
Are you seeking clarity? Do worries about your health, job, parents, children, or pets keep you awake, tossing and turning at night? Are you considering a major life change? Looking for love? Do you want to create a life of joy? Let psychic Elizabeth Anglin help. Visit ElizabethAnglin.com or call 970-708-4838 to schedule your life clarifying appointment today. Don't waste time being worried. Psychic Elizabeth Anglin at ElizabethAnglin.com or call 970-708-4838.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Welcome to the Fire It Up with CJ Show. I am CJ Liu, and you are listening to the Transformation Talk Radio Network. This segment, we have the honor and pleasure to have Dr. Jean Shinoda Bolen, who is a Bay Area activist working on women's rights and an advocate for having a United Nations Fifth World Conference for Women. Welcome back, Jean.
It's good to be back.
Yeah, I wanted to, there's so many things that I love about your work, and one, I was listening to an interview that you did, and you did a beautiful example of describing alchemy, something along the lines of when an opportunity comes to you, there's kind of an alchemy that's happening. Can you tell me another story? Can you be done? You said it in an interview, but I could hear that over and over again. It's just a great way of describing alchemy. I don't know if you know what I'm referring to, because it's an interview that I think you did a couple years ago that I listened to.
I have a feeling for what you might have been tuning into, and that is one of the Goddesses and Every Woman, I talked about the alchemy of Aphrodite.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what happens between two people. That if you start out with a model, as I did, as a psychiatrist with a patient, doctor-patient kind of a thing, and then I was drawn to C.G. Jung's psychology, where his way of doing work was described by him as an alchemy, that for one person, the patient to be affected by the encounter and the work, the other person, the therapist, the doctor, had to be receptive to change also. That otherwise, and it, I've moved it into what I would call an I-thou kind of relationship. That when there is a relationship between people who are equal, then what you have is a potential to, that each person speaks from a deep, authentic place about what really matters and can affect the other person and vice versa. So whenever there's an alchemy between two people, then out of it, growth happens, creativity happens, ideas grow. You don't have one person over the other. When you have one person over the other, even when there's just two people in the unit, it encourages one to be a codependent and the other to be a narcissist. I mean, that's what happens when it is a non-equal relationship. And there are a lot of non-equal relationships in this world. But it's a, when there's an alchemy present, you learn, you get excited by new possibilities. If you're like two musicians, you can play off each other. And what comes out of it is something that you wouldn't have done by yourself. That's when alchemy is moving.
It's exciting. That's beautiful. It is. And you know what? It explains my marriage. I feel so lucky. I never had a model that someone could explain to me like what happens when I interrelate with my husband, but that's exactly what happened. Two equal people coming together, and the two of us have so much growth and creativity happening because we're both kind of growing and sharing simultaneously and open to hear each other's point of view.
And remember, I also began with the alchemy of Aphrodite, because love is an essential ingredient. Love of the other person or of the work. You can have an alchemy between an artist and or a therapist and the work itself, a love for the work, where you learn as you proceed. Whatever you're doing, you keep learning.
Beautiful. I love that idea.
So the alchemy of Aphrodite is that ability to see through the lens of love, the beauty of the potential in the other person. That is, the alchemy is like, it's Michelangelo saying that what he did was freed the figure that he saw in that block of marble. And it's a teacher that loves the potential out of the child that someone else considered stupid. And it brings it to life. I mean, and I'm saying that the alchemy of Aphrodite is present in good therapists, in good gardeners, in good teachers, in good directors, in good anybody that draws out of the other person something beautiful that's in that other person. And I know, and talking about activism and in circles can do that. Circles can be like a midwifery for the women in it. That is, if someone says, I have the possibility, I'm thinking I really want to follow some urge, some creative urge.
You've been listening to Fire It Up with CJ. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for more of Fire It Up with CJ. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.